Hello, and welcome to the Alloy Personal Training Business Podcast, a show for people who want to take their personal training businesses and fitness coaching skills to the next level. Team Alloy has been in the personal training business since 1992 and share their insights from working with businesses and brands around the world. Listen in for secrets and tips on running a successful fitness business, from personal training, marketing, staff management, scaling your business, and everything in between. If you are interested in having your own personal training business, our systems are well developed, and we are focusing on very discrete segments which we think are the secrets to success. Now, let's get started with our host.
Good morning, Matt.
Morning, Rick.
You ready for it? Hold on, hold on. It's Monday morning.
It's a Bush.
Wow.
We should get paid sponsorship for that.
From Bush? I don't think so.
Come on.
Natty Light.
That'd be good for a gym.
Yeah, right. What are we, Planet Fitness? No offense.
Jeez. We need sponsorship for that too.
Pizza and beer. Yeah. I expect to be sponsored by Planet Fitness for drinking beer on the puck. This is not a beer. This is, it's I don't even know what it is. It has caffeine in it and it's not hot. So put it that way.
Yeah. Okay. How you doing, man? Have a good weekend?
You know what? I did. Things going well. Business is growing. You know, we have a new director of training / GM here. He's doing a great job.
Yeah, he's awesome. Shout out to Rodney.
Yeah. Shout out to my man, Rodney. He's doing a really good job. And, you know, because we're a personal training brand, the most important thing about that position is just connecting to people.
Mm-hmm.
And just sitting down and having conversations like a coach would. And he has done a really good job of that. So far, I'm really happy with him. I think he's happy being here.
Yeah.
And so that helps, obviously, to have the gym. The women's gym is doing really well. We really never took a dip. Same thing, Anthony, my partner out there, owner-operator, is just a baller. So that never even, we even see a hiccup even during COVID. So that's going well. And leads are going pretty good here. I mean, it's a weird environment. You know, as you know, the virus is sort of front and center again, become pretty polarizing topic. So I think that it's going to slow everyone down to a certain extent, but we're still plugging away. So we're still growing every single week, week over week. We're not back to where we were pre-COVID, but we're closer than we have been.
Right.
So we're under that 20% that we dropped. And we still have like 45 clients on freeze.
Right.
Which it might be a different way of saying I quit, but we'll find out. Because freeze means, to the listeners that don't know, we simply push their bill date back a month and then we check in with them again towards the end of that month, and then we push it back again. And we really don't do that normally, but it's just based on the environment that we have.
Yeah. Most of those people we have to do that. We talk to anyway, we're just waiting it out. So yeah. I feel if we didn't have that second spike or whatever, you know, they'd already be back in.
Yeah, agreed. And listen, if you're home watching the news at all, it's probably doing you no good for your mental health.
Don't watch the news.
Yeah, really, don't watch the news at all. But yeah, man, overall, I'm happy with business. I mean, licensing is taking a beating because if gyms aren't open and they can't operate, right, you know, they're not going to want to pay us and we wouldn't expect them to. So, you know, that's been a little bit tougher, but I get it. And the ones that have come back online have come back, and we've, you know, you did a great job of building like stay in your own space workouts and all these things that they could do. And we've been sharing along the way, whether it's through the podcast or on our private pages, how we're doing and tips and tricks that we're learning in our comeback. So yep. I think all's good, man. I couldn't expect it to be any better, and it is what it is. And if we look at comparatively to other businesses and, you know, other industries, I think we're doing great. So for sure. Overall, I'm pretty happy with it. So I'm excited about today's topic. Tell listeners what we're going to talk about.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about kind of what we call the Ascension model, or Ascension. Right. Ascension.
Yeah.
It's Monday. Right. But just really overall, I mean, there's lots of different ways to look at ascension in your business, but growth versus just kind of maintaining.
Right.
So why don't you kind of give us a little bit more in depth of what that means, and I'll kind of guide you through some different ways.
The terms that you hear a lot, certainly around sales, are ascension and continuity, right? Which means ongoing. But ascension really means that there's some type of a customer journey that someone's going on in your business. It could be revenue based, right? Meaning like help the business, right? Like people, they want to get more involved in a brand over time, right? It could be programming. So maybe they want to, you know, move from one step to another, or one stage to another, and there's some ascension in that, right? There's a lot of different ways to look at it, but really what we're talking about in its true essence is a customer journey. I think the best parallel that I could use on a high level, and it's a real basic parallel, but it does make sense. If you look at a premium brand, like say you look at a Mercedes, right? Well, Mercedes has cars and models that fit a lot of different price points and price ranges, right?
Yep.
You can buy, a Mercedes for $30,000+, like a beginner level Mercedes. So let's say you're in your mid 20s and you're doing decently professionally and you want to buy a premium brand car for the image or for the sake that you like cars, whatever that is, right? So you go out and you buy yourself a Mercedes. Well, if you're in that brand for any amount of time and you buy into the craftsmanship and the way it drives and the quirks about it and the image and all the things that go with it, then it would make sense that your next step would be to buy something more expensive in that same line. So maybe when you're in mid 20s, you buy the lowest level Mercedes, but maybe by the time you're in your mid 50s, you still like Mercedes as a brand. You're into the, 550, AMG convertible or whatever that may be, right? Or maybe you're a baller and you're buying a Maybach, Maybach for something. I don't know. But that's a real basic idea of like ascension over a long period of time within a premium brand would just be buying up more expensive models over time.
Right.
But the more that people do that, it's proven that the happier they're going to be. So they are more and more and more connected to your brand. In a lot of ways, the more they spend, but it's a journey that they're going on.
It's kind of leveling up.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a leveling up, whether that be financial or we'll talk about it. I think we plan to talk about it through programming, things like that. But if you don't have the interesting thing about this model that I want everyone to hear, and we're certainly guilty of this as well, where a lot of fitness centers, you have, one thing that you're selling, like just sell memberships or just sell training or just sell boot camp classes, whatever that is. And that's your end all be all. And so you think to yourself, well, I'm not in the business of selling clothing or supplements, or I don't do personal training, or I don't do any other things that I could sell, right? Because this is all we do. The problem with that is that you're doing the customer a disservice. So you may feel like you don't want to be, and I'm doing air quotes, sales, right? What if the facts and the data showed that if a customer paid more and was more in-depthly involved in your brand, they would actually be happier and they would prefer it and they would stay longer. So the retention of your business would be higher if you had someone that could go from base level Mercedes, whatever that is, to the 550 convertible over time. That's basically what we're talking about. So it's certainly, we're going to talk about it from a revenue standpoint and make it specific to our industry, but I also want you to think about it as it's good for the customer. So it's not just about driving revenue. That is certainly a one reason and a good reason, but it's really about also what's best for the customer and how the psychology of buying and ascension over time works. And yeah, so it's really important, not just for you, but also really important for the customer. And obviously so, those two things, if you do what's right by your customers, you're going
to
have a better business.
So like if there's nothing else to buy, say if they've maxed out on bet the boss best Mercedes, eventually they'll change brands. Presumably they're not totally invested in there.
Yeah. I mean, that's that basic example would be like, I don't know, but yeah, I know what you're saying. So yeah, I mean, if you look at, I think the best way that someone has explained it to me in the most simple terms was like, you're only going to lose a customer when you run out of things to sell them.
Right.
That's a really interesting way to think about ascension and retention. Imagine that. Like, you're only going to run out of these customers when you run out of new stuff to sell them. It's like, oh, well then I'm not doing them a service by just saying, okay, you're paying your $250 a month, so we're just going to leave you alone. That's all you need.
Right.
And if I ask you for any more money or to sell you anything else, I'm going to lose you because I'm not in the air quote sales business again. Right. So it's actually a disservice to the customer. You're going to be involved with them for a shorter amount of time and they're not going to reach their goals and you're not going to make more money. So,
well, I mean, you're always looking to get better or find something better, right? That's human nature.
Think about any sport. Let's say you got into motorcycles, because I like motorcycles. When I first got into motorcycles, I just bought a bike that I thought looked cool, and I wore the minimal amount of gear to just ride around it that I thought looked cool. And then over time, you're like, well, wait a minute, this motorcycle doesn't maybe have enough power. Braking kind of stinks, and if I'm going to be riding like I'm riding, maybe I should get an armored jacket. It's like, all right, now that's next step, right? And then you go further and further and further until pretty soon you're buying a motorcycle that has all these electronics all over it that you never thought you needed. And you're investing in this high-end gear because you don't want to slide down the road and lose all your skin or break any bones. But all of that is also an ascension model. And then there's also skill acquisition. I mean, I go and do track days every year, right, to learn to race a motorcycle on a track. I have no aspirations of being a motorcycle racer. But if you learn at the razor's edge of what a motorcycle can do in speeds, then it makes you a better rider on the street.
Right.
But there's ascension there. I can continue to get better at this forever. I mean, look at martial arts. That's probably the best example of this, right? Mm-hmm. They have a clear cut customer journey from the time you step in the door. Oh, you want to be a jiu-jitsu black belt? Okay, well, it's going to take between 10 and 14 years, whatever that is. And here's the belt system, and here's how it works, and here's how you know you're moving up, right?
Yeah. Well, I think you just hit it right there, though. You just clear-cut journey, and you laid it out, and the client or whatever customer knows what to expect and knows there is possibility for growth.
Yeah, so that's a lot of what we're going to dig into, just the finer points today is, hey, this is how we do things. And if it just becomes part of your culture, mm-hmm. it's going to be really good for your business, and it's going to be really, really good for your clientele and their retention. And keeping them there means they're going to be more successful. If you got in this business to help people, what better way than to keep them around longer?
Okay. What do you want to start with, programming or revenues first?
Let's start with the revenues.
Okay. Let's do it.
So if you, we'll cover a couple scenarios. So I know we get listeners that are own studios, and we also have listeners that own big gyms. So mm-hmm. I think it's maybe easier even through the lens of like a large gym. So I own a basic membership gym and I'm selling $20 a month memberships. Well, if I could move someone from a basic membership into maybe there's a plus $10 for group exercise. So now they're at $29.99, right? Mm-hmm. And now they're getting group classes. Okay. Yep. Well, group classes offer what? Community, scheduled times, mm-hmm. They're led by an instructor, good stuff.
Better off physically than by yourself. So,
yep, better off they're mentally better, and physically, stickier if you meet a couple people there and you get a social network going, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So that's an ascension for me. Well, what about getting somebody into group training? It's even another step. So even though the group size might be a little bit smaller than group X, you're still in a bigger group. But now, certainly in the way that we would coach it, you're leveled into a certain type of group based on your fitness level and your goals. So, okay, great. Now I'm in this group, right? Well, I'm paying more for that. So maybe now I'm at $99 all in with my membership and I'm getting a real coach, you know, like a personal training coach is now coaching me through these complex kettlebell movements or what have you done in this group setting. Mm-hmm. Great. That's another ascension. Well, is this good for the business from a revenue standpoint? Yes. And we already know, like from the client standpoint, also good. Well, then the next step would be people that are doing group training, team training, as we call it, right? Moving them into personal training. The interesting thing about that, Matt, is a lot of the folks that we were doing licensing and we were coaching people up on, hey, we're going to introduce these different layers of training, right? Well, we looked at it as revenue opportunities because mm-hmm. there's something in for people that can't afford this. You can do team training and then you move up. What we ended up seeing, which we didn't anticipate, which was a nice byproduct, was that people that did or clubs that offered team training saw a massive increase in the revenues around their personal training.
Yep.
And when we looked at why, it was like, well, team training gave us a low barrier introduction to coaching. Mm-hmm. The same coaches that were coaching team training were also coaching personal training. And so lo and behold, you know, I like Matt, he's coaching my afterburn class 2 or 3 days a week. Well, you know, he and I've had some talks. I've got these specific goals. I've got these little injuries that are, you know, bothering me, and he's going to upsell me then into personal training. Well, that's going to be a better experience for me. Mm-hmm. And I understand I have to pay to play, and sometimes price threshold is a barrier, but if it's not, I'm going to be much happier getting more personal attention. So there's an ascension model there that has several layers in it, right? It goes from basic membership to group X to team training to personal training. And you can service that either small group or one-on-one, right? Now, when we had a studio, and you remember this, Matt, we were 8,000 square feet. We had all of these layers. We had a do it on your own, which we called it indie, which was like, we do the program design on the app, you come and do it on your own. We had team training, and then we had personal training. We, I think, organically were good at the ascension model because most of our revenue came from personal training.
Right.
Right. And then we had nutrition services and things like that. So we were good at the membership ascension. I think that's the most basic one. But let's talk about the studios now and maybe the way we're set up and the way a lot of studios are set up is in this day and age, it's harder to be all things to all people. Mm-hmm. And so, as you know, listeners, you know, we've gone with Alloy Personal Training franchise. We've gone to what we think is our specialty, which was that line item of revenue that was most of the revenue for us for all 28 years, which was personal training. Now we're doing it in a small group setting. Some people call it semi-private. It's like one coach to six clients, still making the claim of personal training. Well, that's all that we do now. So the only ascension that we would have would be one time a week, two times a week, or three times a week. Good, better, best.
Sure.
So we could move somebody from good to better, or from better to best. That's not a huge trajectory, right? It's not a huge way to ascend over time. If that's the case, then you have to look at other, like, what other things do my clients need to be successful, and what could I sell them into, right? So examples for us that we have not traditionally done a good job of that we're leaning heavily into right now would be supplement sales.
Yep.
When you look at the data, our partners DotFit, and they've presented us with some interesting data over time. And one of the pieces of data says that 80 something percent of your customers are already taking supplements, but they're not buying them from us. So we have now a third party tested, very high quality supplement that's not carried at Costco and on Amazon because of that, that we can offer to our customers. If 80 something percent of them are already taking supplements, we would be doing them a disservice by not offering them a better option.
Sure.
Because as you know, supplements are not regulated. So if you're buying protein powder from Costco and it says that it has 20 grams per serving, it could be 7 grams per serving. Who knows?
Yeah.
Right. And there could be all kinds of ingredients in there that you don't know. So not only would we be seeing more revenue here, we would be doing a better service to the customer. So if you look at our model as an example, good, better, best, we run out of options within membership ascension or revenue ascension pretty quickly without just adding more numbers, right? More people. But let's talk about one individual and their journey and their lifetime value for us, right? So if we could, our goal would be a good model for an Alloy personal training franchise is about 250 members, right? It doesn't need 800 like an Orange Theory. It just needs 250 to make really good money. So if you have 250 members in your gym and you know that 80% of those members are already willing to take supplements because they're buying them at General Nutrition Center or the grocery store or Costco or whatever that is. Well, if we just took that metric, 80% of our current clientele, that would put us at 200 people.
Yep.
So our basic prescription, and this is just us, is typically fish oil because people don't eat enough fish.
Yep.
Right? They don't get the omegas. Protein, because people woefully undereat the amount of protein that they need based on their fitness goals, right? And then a multivitamin, because it just fills in the gaps. It's just almost impossible in this day and age, unless you're growing your own vegetables or whatnot, to get all the nutrients that you need out of your foods. So it's just like plugging in the gaps, right? It's a safeguard. So just those three supplements in some combination or form, you could add a probiotic, if you know, whatever those things are, right? But that puts us at about $100 a month more for the customer, right? And half of that is net profit for a gym. That's the way most supplements work.
Right.
Well,
that's a good chunk of change.
It's a good chunk of change. So if you look at a gym that has 250 members, if 80% could be taking supplements on a subscription basis every month, it's about $100 a month. So that's $20,000 a month in revenue. 10,000 of that is net profit. Now, who wouldn't want to do that, right? Well, I mean, everybody should do it. And when you look at that as an example, not only are you selling people something that they need, but you're guiding them through this ascension model. So this is the things that we're working out now as a playbook around that so that we know when and how to ascend people meaningfully.
Right.
But all that we do know is the end game of this is that there's going to be more revenue for the business. This playbook will mean more revenue for our entire franchise. And the customer is going to be happier because they are more involved with our brand than they were before.
Yeah,
and they're getting what they needed. Actually, they're going to be more successful over time.
It's like your motorcycle example. You started out, had the bare minimum, got you going. That's kind of how people start out in the gym. They're just happy to be there. And then it's like, oh, well, I'm kind of really starting to invest in my health. And you guide them along the way. This is the best thing to do. And it's not a sale. It's just literally, this is what you want to get to this level. Okay. And a big thing that we use here is we call them accountability sessions. We sit down in the office with them. We do body fat analysis with them. We show them all the numbers. And then it's literally like, you want to get better? These are the things to do that. Okay. And like you said before, but you have to actually tell them about it and they have to be visible to the customer. Cause if you don't, they don't know that you even offer those products.
100%, Matt. Great point. And it's sort of like that, you know, always be selling kind of idea. If you think about it that way, it sounds icky. Like sales is just a dirty word in a service industry for whatever reason. But if in fact it was going to help the customer reach their goals better and help your business, you know, the true win-win, why would you not do it? You are actually doing them a disservice if you don't do it.
Right.
So if we look at other brands, if we look at examples of this, right? So if we look at examples of like a boot camp or a team training brand, we see the average churn rate in those brands be between 3 and 7 months. Mm-hmm. So they're going to turn somebody up. It's pretty quick. For the same marketing dollars to acquire, you know, customer acquisition costs to acquire a new customer to your business, are you charging them $100 a month, let's say, as an example, and you're going to keep them from 3 to 7 months. Whereas if they come here, because we do have an ascension model, and we'll get to that in programming in a minute, we're actually going to keep them for 36 months and they're paying more.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, the lifetime value of a customer, completely different with, by the way, the same customer acquisition cost on the front end. So if you were a boot camp, or if you were in a brand that does boot camp style training, I think one of the reasons that customers churn out is there is no ascension. Like if I'm going to, and I'll just throw a name out there of one of the biggest, more successful brands, and I'm not throwing shade towards the brand. I'm just looking at the mechanisms of their business,
style of business,
which would be like an Orange Theory. If I was going to an Orange Theory, there might be some ascension in how long I can stay in a heart rate zone, or, you know, maybe how many miles I covered on a certain workout or what have you. But it's really all just based on calories burned, which is just effort put in. There's not really any way to ascend beyond a certain, maybe 3 to 7 months, right? It might be coincidental.
Yeah, there's only so many splat points you can get.
Exactly.
You just get the leaderboard, and that's kind of their driver.
Yeah, right. It's just basic math, but it's finite, and it, you know, doesn't go anywhere. There's no like long-term ascension. And I know in a complex model, when you're scaling it big, there's probably, they don't do supplements and they don't do other services. So, you know, you can't really get more intimately involved with the brand other than showing up for class and getting some splat points, which I think is great. And believe me, they've done amazing. And there are owners that kill it, that do it in maybe a bit of a different way.
Well, their ascension is probably, you know, apparel and watches and, you know, heart rate monitors and stuff like that. Right. Mm-hmm. It's just,
yep.
Not put into retention probably as much.
Exactly. So those models, or these bootcamp models, are going to struggle over time without an ascension-based model, right? So one of the ways that you mentioned that we do it, that I recommend that every bootcamp brand do if they could, would be to pull people out of that setting every now and then and sit down and have a discussion with them. And in that discussion, it would be a really wise for you to have some other things to sell people to get them more involved with the brand, right? So examples in bootcamp brand might be something like a nutrition class. Like, hey, we're going to start this nutrition series. It's another $100, you know, to be involved with it. Like, okay, great. Like, now I'm even more involved with your brand and more intimate. And by the way, I'm getting better results, which is also great for retention. So it's a little harder with the one trick pony brands that don't ever pull people out in a one-on-one setting and sit down and talk to them. But yeah, I mean, obviously find other ways to sell your customers more things from a revenue standpoint. That's going to help the company. Mm-hmm. And you should feel good about doing it, even if you're a quote unquote non-salesperson, because it's better for the customer. All of these ascending services should be related to the client goals, by the way. You can't just like bring in some weird outside thing that has nothing to do with goals, right?
Do you have an example?
No. I was trying to think of one, but they're all really weird. So no, I don't want to talk about the other things I had in mind. Come in now and receive. Yeah, no, that's not going to work. So you have to make them, they won't make sense unless they're relatable to their goals, right? So, you know, revenue standpoint, I mean, it's pretty friggin' obvious. Sell people more stuff, you're going to make more money. You know, that's what
it's down stuff. To. Let them know what you have. That's a big one. People, we just assume that everybody knows we sell supplements.
Right. Well, and quite honestly, we suck at it. Like we're working it out. It's going to be amazing for our whole brand, and our clients are going to get better results, and we're all going to make more money, and everyone's going to be happy. But traditionally speaking, we have not been good at exactly what I'm saying. So I'm not saying that like we have this perfect playbook, but I will tell you, in any sales book,
right?
These models have been proven out scientifically. You know, from a behavioral science standpoint, and revenue is obvious. So it needs to happen for everyone in some regard.
Yeah, but what we're really good at, and what you're going to go into kind of tell us next, is programming.
Yeah, so in our programming, the way that we ascend is there is a upward trajectory over time. Even for the clubs that we write team training for, we have these three distinct, like a beginner one, and the beginner, and we've known this since the start, the beginner level has three levels in it. So by the time you reach level 3 of the lowest level of team training, you're bumping right up against level 1 of the next level. So you can make that leap. Mm-hmm. So you can go from foundations to afterburn. And then there's an ascension model within afterburn.
Right.
And you hit industrial strength, right? And there's an ascension model within that. And it's a long journey to go from beginner level in foundations to the highest level of industrial strength. I mean, imagine struggles to move well and is high risk of injury to essentially almost safe CrossFit workouts for mm-hmm. volume and load. So that's a long time. That could be years
sure.
of time for things to shoot for. We've tried some things in the past that just weren't sticky for whatever reason, like almost a belt system, like martial arts, where you'd wear a bracelet based on your level. And I think it just made people feel, unlike martial arts, which comes with a lot of humbleness, and you know, it's just not that setting. And so it was a little bit off-putting to wear in your beginner bracelet or what have you. Yes. So we could have done a better job with it, but that didn't work over time for us. But we gave it a shot. We tried it a few different ways. But within that, the way that our programming works, even now that we've gone to personal training, so that's, we even did it within team training when we mm-hmm. did that. So that's for your bootcamp owners. Like, that's one way to do it, is have these different like metrics and fitness levels that they can ascend to over time. Here, we have the same thing going on in personal training. So we have every workout that we put out has our three distinct levels based on our leveling system that gets them to stability, strength, power. Right. As the three different levels. Mm-hmm. So you can actually see over time how you're ascending up through those levels based on the choice of exercise that you're given, assigned right. to do in that workout. You know, knee pushups to regular pushups, or regular pushups to weighted pushups, right? And so those are things that we can track in our accountability sessions, as long as the customer, oh, as well as the customer also just recognizing that it's happening. I mean, they know when they're doing a, you know, we have people that come in with a side goal, like, I want to lose some weight. Oh yeah, and I would like to do some pull-ups. And that might be something that comes out later. Well, how would you know that if you were training 30 people at a time and never pulled them out of that session?
Right.
You got to do these accountability sessions. You have to pull them out, sit down with them and say, all right, what are you looking at? And they're like, well, now I want to work on blank, right? Just that mechanism of having that accountability session alone brings an ascension model within the confines of just a 3 membership level. Mm-hmm. You know, it puts it right into the programming. So you can't avoid it. So, hey, now I'm working on this. I've lost this weight. Now I'm going to be going on this hiking trip. So I want to make sure I focus on this, right? And we know that our programming covers most of all of those bases, mm-hmm. but you can still make slight tweaks to help that person move towards a more specific goal. And it just makes them feel good. Again, right. in their mind, they are ascending from one thing to the other. So bam, hit my weight loss goal. Now I want to work on this. Now I want to work on that. Now I want to work on this. It's like always moving target. But there's always ascension. Even if it's a literal lateral movement from one goal to another, it feels like they're on a journey over time. Mm-hmm. And we're walking them through that journey, hand-holding them through that.
Right. And if you don't have that, that's where you get those short retentions, right?
Yeah.
You get those 7 months. If you come in and it's just everybody does the same thing, we're all doing this, eventually either you will just get bored or you'll max out and you're done, right?
Yep. I mean, yep. You'll move. Like, you went in. It's like starting, we talked about it, like, maybe it's a bad example, but like the efficiency rate. So I go in and the first time I take a boot camp workout, it's really hard because I haven't done it. But over time, I get better at it, right? And as I get better at it, I get more efficient. So I'm not burning as many calories. So now I got to work harder to get my splat points because my heart rate's adjusted down.
Yeah, that was definite heart rate disaster right
there. Well, exactly. So now it's like, oh my God, like the better shape I'm in, I don't get as many points. Like, this is crazy, right? And that's just the physiology of how things work. Like, you get more efficient. Well, that's great if you're trying to run a 10K. Not so good if you're trying to measure points as your only measure for exercise. Yeah, and some kind of a challenge, right? So it just turns you into a crazy person. So I would say that having those accountability sessions and just moving people along is the most important thing that we do. And then make sure that if you're going to do those, you can actually facilitate it. So at Alloy, you know, in the Alloy franchise, this is part of the structure, is to pull people out once a month, ideally, to mm-hmm. do these accountability sessions. Rodney's been doing a great job since he started, sitting down with people and say, all right, where are you now? And you know, fitness is a journey up and down, right? Mm-hmm. It is. And so it can be pointed here, pointed there, pointed at performance, pointed at aesthetics, pointed at, you know, longevity. I mean, there's so many ways you can go. All of those things could be seen as a journey for the client and could be described as ascension, even if sometimes you're moving laterally from one goal to another.
Yeah, perfect.
Also in those sessions, we talk about pulling people out into this accountability session. Guess where the conversations come about for the revenue opportunities for us? Because we talked about before, all of our revenue opportunities are essentially solutions for customers, and that's mm-hmm. the way they should be. And so if a solution is to get a client on a better, more quality supplement that that reduces inflammation, that gives them better energy, that gives them enough protein so their satiety level's higher so they don't overeat so much, you know, of the junk foods, isn't that a good thing overall, right?
Absolutely.
But there's also revenue opportunities. Mm-hmm. And so like the customer's happy because they're more in-depthly involved with the brand. Kind of like you said, their identity's changing. Okay, I work out at a gym now, People that work out at gyms take supplements. People that work out at gyms eat healthier, mm-hmm. right? And so like that's where your ascension opportunity lies, not just in supplements, right? Nutrition classes, whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. But just think about what a customer needs. What do you do? When I look at what do our coaches do? Everyone takes a supplement. Everyone takes some protein powder. Everyone works out a certain way. We're all trying to get stronger. We're all trying to get better, whatever that is. So that's exactly, if we all do it and we are in the know better than any people in the industry, that's what our customers should be doing.
Yep.
Right. So I would say the accountability session, not only is it great for moving people along literally within the programming, and there's some ascension there, which is important. It also is really important for driving that revenue as well, because it's that personal conversation about why. And it's that coach sitting down, looking them in the eye across the table and saying, all right, Matt, here's what's next for you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe in the future we'll come out with, you know, podcast on when and how to best do it.
Yep.
But right now, just the fact that we're doing it at all, because there's so many gyms that don't, like, to them, it's the selling the membership or the sessions or whatever that is. That's the end all be all, but it shouldn't be.
Well, I mean, everybody's guilty of that. I mean, at some point you're, like I said, you're just maintaining, you're just trying to keep everybody happy as opposed to getting in there and trying to continually push them forward, push your business, grow your business, yep. grow your client's journey. So,
but if somebody stepped in and gave someone the behavioral science data that says, look, if you don't move someone along, you're going to lose them. I think they would change their behavior. I just don't know if people fully understand how this works. I don't think they understand the science, or they haven't been exposed to the idea that, listen, if you're not ascending people over time, you're going to lose them, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, think about the raving customers of a brand. You know, you buy a Yeti mug and then you buy the cooler and then you get the sticker on your car. And it's like,
yeah,
the deeper you get involved with a brand like that, it becomes part of your identity. And like, great, well, what do Yeti people buy for this? And what do they buy for that? And, well, I got to get the dog bowl at $60. It's like, I don't care. It's Yeti. That's what I do. You know, that's who I am. Like, mm-hmm. I do high quality outdoor products. I'm an outdoorsy fun guy. This is what I buy. So much of that goes into these brands, right? So you just got to find your tribe. And once they land on you and that's their home, you better start figuring out ways to move them more in depth into the brand, or you're going to have that 3 to 7 month churn.
Yep. Perfect.
That's all I've got for you, I think. I mean, that makes sense, right? I mean, does it make sense to you, Matt? If you were running to gym and the first time you'd heard it was like, listen, behavioral science says if you can get people more in-depthly involved with your brand by making, or if I said to you, frankly, you're only going to lose a customer when you run out of things to buy them, and you bought in, you'd be like, oh, shoot. Well, then that would be your opportunity to look, what are these things? What things support our core service? Mm-hmm. Supplements, right? Nutrition classes, whatever these things are. And our core value while doing all that is to also keep it simple. So you can't make it too complex. I mean, I've seen guys that have 18 different things extraneously, right, and they're all advertised on their website. It's like, no. Ascension is ascension. Like, starting them out with, like, you know, a shotgun blast of products and services that they can choose from, probably not the best way to start. We know that the more choices people have, the less they'll buy. So ascension is also about baby steps. You know, look at how Precision Nutrition coaches
right.
nutrition.
I mean, it's what we
baby
do here.
Habits that build on each other over time. But that is essentially what we're saying is ascension.
Start out working out, you know, 2 to 4 weeks, you're consistent at that. Then maybe we'll start nutrition. Then we're starting some supplements. I mean, it's a building process.
So but you mean have to lay it out. Change everything in my life in the first 7 days.
You could try.
Right. Yeah. How successful have we seen that be? Right.
It's zero.
So in this model, guys, that's exactly the lens that you put over ascension, like one thing at a time, but making sure there's a customer journey that's clear cut for the customer. Yeah. And when you're having these conversations about these ancillary services that are back scratchers to what your core service is, the conversation is always not like, hey, you could, or hey, maybe you should. It's like, no, this is how we do things. Because if you get them to do it, they're going to be more successful. You're going to make more money.
Right. But laying it out to them and letting them know.
Yeah. Well, that's it. You got to market. I mean, it's like you never quit selling.
You blindside them and all of a sudden like, hey, you need to take supplements. All right.
Well, it's not a bad idea. We've talked about things that we're working on here, like maybe graphics that draw out like the journey, right? Like,
absolutely.
Customers want to know exactly how does this work? Well, you come in, first you establish this habit, then you establish this habit 2 weeks later, right. Or, you know, we introduce this 2 weeks later, then this habit. And we just walk them right through the journey and they know exactly what to expect. Then it doesn't become a sales session when you're having the discussion. It becomes, this is how we do things. Like, this is step two for you. Congratulations.
First session with a client is so huge.
Yeah, that's why
the groundwork for what you're doing.
Well, great point. So should we be doing come in, try a free workout? Like, what is that even? Like, what does it even mean? Like, okay, I like to work out here. But again, if my introduction to the brand is just a free workout, and it's not a discussion around what my journey is going to look like and how this is going to benefit me and what I should be doing over time, how sticky is that going to be? Not very, because I never really fully understood what I was even doing there other than just burning a calorie, which is a lot of ways to burn calories. But if it was like, hey, we're going to bring you in, we're going to help you move better, we're going to help you move up in your fitness level over time, we're going to point you to whatever these goals are that we discover in these accountability sessions. Mm-hmm. And we're going to provide you with other services and products that support all these goals. It's like, great, I found my home. I'm here forever. They can take me in any direction that I want to go over time, which is ascension, no matter how you look at it. And they've got all these support products and services to help me through it. Mm-hmm. So that's what it's all about. And I think it's common sense. I just don't think people think about it through that lens. I know I didn't for years and years. So it's something that we're working hard on here. And I hope that helps everybody. Does that make sense?
Great stuff, man. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Alloy Personal Training Business Podcast. If you have any questions for the host or are interested in learning more about running a successful personal training business of your own, please reach out and say hello. Connect with us at www.alloypersonaltraining.com and sign up for our free newsletter to receive additional resources.